Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you from the great state of Florida, here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where the weather is fantastic. And I am joined today by two gentlemen who, it'll be interesting to see how this goes. Two of the fastest talkers I know, two of the best jokesters I know, representing the country of Canada, Mr. Chad Kemp from Fast Computers. Chad, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks, Marvin.
All right. And another U.S. representative from the state of New Jersey, Stan Lusant from Fluid Design. Stan, how are you?
I'm doing well. That's right.
All right.
Actually, we're all representing East Coast, no matter what country we're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Right, East
I
Coast.
Just want to point that out.
Let's go with that.
East Coast all the way. Although, Stanley, I've got to start with you. Have you been traveling lately?
Yeah. I'm actually not on the East Coast right now. I am in my second. I've been quarantining in Texas for the past 3 weeks because why not, right? So,
what's in Texas?
Listen, why be alone if I don't have to, right? It's just that simple.
All right. No, I'm not going to ask. This is a PG-rated show, so.
No, but I had to get a flight in, right? I was itching. I was scratching. I just had to get it. But I have to tell you, it's actually the perfect time to fly because there's nobody on the plane. The plane was empty 3 weeks ago. There's nobody on the plane. I was the only guy at TSA. I mean, it's better being on the plane than it was being at the grocery store.
Wow.
Even though I don't advise anybody to fly because you're supposed to not fly, but, you know. They brought me here.
All right. And Mr. Chad, how are things up in Canada?
Pretty much what you expect. Everything's pretty good. The weather, we don't share your sentiments on the weather. It was Canadian short and t-shirt weather last week. I think that's parka weather for you, though. And then it was snowing yesterday. And it was hailing the day before. And right now, I don't know. I just don't know. It's just a surprise. It's like just a surprise. You go out there and you get what you get.
It is the end of April. How in the world is it still snowing?
Well, don't forget, I'm Southern Canada too. I mean, my fellow Canadians and their igloos up north are really, you know, toughing it out. But we're a Southerner here. You know, it's like I said, short weather is like 68, 69 degrees Fahrenheit for us. That's you can do shorts in that. Like I said, I think that's parka weather for you though. I think.
I don't know what a parka is, so.
We'll get you a nice Canada goose jacket. Is what we're doing.
Goose jacket.
Nah, you can send that to me. He don't need that. The guy in Jersey needs that one.
Listen, every few years, I got to go get a jacket, let alone anything else. All I own is sweatshirts, so if I need to cover up, I just wear a T-shirt and throw the sweatshirt over it. Of course, it's got MB Systems on it, so the customers are always, oh, nice.
A sweatshirt. I have a feeling your sweatshirt weather is probably t-shirt weather, though. I'm suspecting.
Probably.
I have to agree. Chad, you know, you and I, we got the same weather versus this one. You know, he's a real Southerner here.
Yeah, our weather's so bad. It's the sand is too hot for Stanley. That's how bad our weather is.
That did happen. That literally happened, man. I was burning my toes, man. I thought I was going to go to the beach that day. I'm hanging out there in Florida with Uncle Marv here. And I walked on that beach. I got right off, man. My toes were. It was like, you ever see those shows like Survivor, or whatever, where they do like walking on coals, like how you trust people? Or whatever. Yeah, that's what it felt like. And I had to go. I was like, I was not having that.
We got a beach up the road, and I went to go there like 2 weeks ago, not to go on the beach, but I wanted to just kind of drive through, you know, getting out, doing a drive kind of thing, right? And it was underwater, and the police wouldn't let me near it. But when I say it was underwater, I mean like, I thought my truck could make it through it, but they wouldn't let me try. And the car in front of me definitely wasn't going to make it through it.
So what kind of beach do you have? Is it a man-made beach?
No, we have like a, like, so it's, if you Google it, Port Dover is a beach near me. And
was that a big lake or something?
Yeah, it's lakes. We have Lake Erie and Lake Ontario that are pretty close to me. So
okay.
You got shoreline. Not all of it's great. Actually, funny enough, Port Dover has a palm tree they bring out in the summer. And they bring our palm trees inside in the winter, Marvin. That's what we do. I have a lemon tree over here that I'm not going to let you see because it doesn't look very
good. What is it, in some sort of glass case, you know, like pristinely preserved?
Greenhouse or inside, those are your options for your citrus plants.
Wow. No, we have palm trees that we leave out all year long.
And real beaches.
Real beaches, yes.
How about swimming pools? Really, if you moved from Florida up here, you'd think we were mental having swimming pools because we can only keep them open a few months of the year. The rest of the time, they have covers on them and tarps, and they're tied down.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Is it a real, like, in-ground pool, or is it one of those big above-ground pools?
My last house, I had an in-ground. I had a 18 by 36 in-ground. Okay. This house, I have a 16 by 24 above-ground, but it's not like some Walmart special or whatever. Like, it's got a heater and the pump's the same as you'd have on your in-ground. But because of my yard has a... The grading goes way down. Mm-hmm. This kind of, the deck goes out and then the pool kind of keeps going. So it's flat off the deck, if that makes sense.
Okay.
In ground would have required a lot of sticks.
Yeah, so, the point is, this is Chad. Nothing could be simple. It can't just be some in ground pool he bought at Costco, right? It's got to be, hey, my above ground pool has everything that your in ground pool would have and then some, right? That's Chad. It's got to be Chad, right? It can't just be simple. Oh, I didn't just go to Costco, bought this above ground pool, blow it up with the air thing, right? With that ladder, with like the ladder you just throw over, you know?
The fireman's rescue ladder is what that should have been, right?
We got stairs going in, just like the in-ground.
Just like your in-ground pool, but above ground.
So I'm going to rat on the wife here for a second. So you mentioned that your pool has a heater. Mm-hmm. So she asked me when we moved into the house, how soon can we get a heater for the pool?
In Florida?
That's what I said.
Doesn't it get too hot? Does the water boil? Do you have to stay out some days because it's too hot?
No, she wanted a heater for the pool because, you know, in our winter for like whatever 3 weeks in January, the pool gets cold. You know, the sun isn't out to heat up the pool.
Like a solar blanket wouldn't do it. I'm sorry.
She just corrected me. January and February.
2 months.
Two months.
Yeah, she's trying to get a year-round use out of that.
That's right.
Trying to get the money for it.
Maybe if you had a guest from like Tijuana or something on here, this argument would be working a little better.
All right, gentlemen. So let's get down to tech or whatever we want to call tech during these days. So how has the week been for you guys?
Any odds?
I'm sorry. Chad, how's your week going? Because
See, we both could be quiet sometimes, right? No, go ahead, Chad. I'll let you take over first, and then I'll jump in.
Yeah, sure. So for us, it's been pretty much the same since the beginning of March for us. We're really busy. However, all my guys have been working remotely since I think March 14th, somewhere around there. So I've actually come, you know how you see all those things about how essential workers and how we don't value them enough? I don't value the guy who normally does all the shipping and receiving, the in-store stuff and answering the phone enough, because currently I have to do a lot of that and it's not fun. I don't like doing the shipping and receiving and all the other stuff.
Now, are you actually going into your shop? Because you actually have a storefront.
Me and my wife's my office manager. So me and her are in the office with our daughter, and the door is locked. We're allowing like drop offs. We're a warranty center for Lenovo, so I kind of have to do my depot work. So okay. We're allowing drop offs and things like that. Except that, like I said, I'm the tech. So I've replaced batteries on yogas. I've replaced screens, hard drives. It's everything I don't want to do. I've been doing all of that. And the tech work you would talk about, Marvin. I've had to use a screwdriver. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I've had to use
the stuff that the rest of us do. Yeah.
How did it feel?
Not good. Not good. This has actually been my.
I hate to say, you feel like you really meant to say like, I actually do pay people to do this, right? No. Like the statement couldn't be any more true for you, right? No. Like I actually pay people to do.
Do you know I had considered putting everything in like a box and dropping it off on doorsteps with like a bottle of Lysol for my guys? That's been the biggest thing. The problem for me is I'm looking forward and the only thing that I'm worried about is the dry up. Like we don't have a lot of new projects. We got a new managed client that I have to go do a survey for next week. One of my current clients bought out another client. And so I've got to figure out how to bring that on board. But overall, been pretty busy. We've got customers that are currently closed, but we have a lot of customers that are busier now as a result of whatever you want to call this. So I'd say it balanced out, except nobody's here and they're all working remotely. So phones are good, but everything else is not, you know.
Okay. So
Stan.
So I'm gonna jump in. So for me, pretty much have been in maintenance mode. That's really how I'm gonna say it. And you know, when you know, the great thing about all of us here embodying the full MSP model is that, you know, bills are still going out on the first and we're still maintaining those systems and environments, right? So, you know, the clients are really seeing, as long as everything is up and running, right, that's our job, so that they can work remotely, they can make their phone calls, they can email, they can do everything they need to do as if they're in the office. To Chad's point, yes, there's not a lot of new stuff going on, except I do handle some mobile and computer forensics work. And I actually had a fellow askier send me two laptops to get images done on, because there might be some lawsuits somewhere down the line. But the point is, you know, that would have been done remotely anyway, right? Ship me the laptops. You know, we took the images, did what we had to do, and obviously going to ship these laptops back. So, you know, I have to say that's the newest thing that's happened, right, in terms of acquiring anything new. A lot of my clients are in the legal space, and they've kind of been put on hold. There's really not too much things outside of emergent applications, they say, that's happening in the court. So they're just kind of working existing files they have as best as they can. But everyone's kind of in that same position of, hey, you know, how are we going to look in terms of getting new things going forward and new projects? But like I said, as far as it's concerned right now, our job is to keep everybody that we have up and running and, you know, and active. So that's pretty much it.
Interesting, because just about every one of my law firms are operating as much as they can. The two biggest are in insurance defense. So they're still getting cases in and they're still busy. I only have one law firm that does, they work with commercial lending, but they work on behalf of the lease company. So, you mm-hmm. know, so they're going to have an interesting deal because
Everybody's going to be fighting them.
That's right.
Well, that's the thing, right? So here's an example. So a lot of my guys, I have criminal defense attorneys, and their whole thing is, I mean, you know, they're handling like what they call the emergent applications, like, you know, trying to get you out of jail early because you have some health condition going on. Right. But you know, the feds aren't charging anybody right now with crimes. Now I do believe this, when this is all said and done, especially for those attorneys, there's usually an uptick in work after something like this, because people start to do things that they shouldn't be doing. But some of my other ones, my transactional attorneys and things of that nature, you know, not a lot of my guys do insurance defense work, but it's just been, they have work to do even, you know, but things aren't moving as quickly as they would like to. And believe it or not, the court systems aren't that good at doing this whole virtual meeting that we're all doing.
Found, like I have, that a lot of what I've done in the past week is help attorneys try to do, you know, Zoom or whatever from home who've never done it. And obviously there was a big run on webcams, so they can't just run out to, you know, Best Buy or whatever and purchase a webcam because they're all gone already.
Yeah, see, that was us a month and a bit ago, like in March, the week of March 13th, 14th, that's when we got the big run and all that stuff. And then there was a second run on the week of April 4th. Since then, Not so much.
Right.
The webcam thing is, you know, I was joking before the show, I'm sitting in my boardroom because I have a potato cam in my office now because I sold all my home office one, my one here. I went around all the guys' workstations. I took all the cameras off their desks. I sold all those to clients. We had veterinary clinics that previously weren't allowed to do telehealth, but now they're doing a telehealth type of stuff with the video chat. And they couldn't deal with a crappy entry level thing. They needed something good quality for what they're doing. We have physiotherapists doing remote physiotherapy, they're doing all the exercises for their patients so they can follow along. And again, they need a good quality one. And this isn't really the time to start pushing $2,000 conference solutions to these people either, right? So we did that. So what we've been doing now is you got the Tiny One monitors from Lenovo and other vendors have them too. They have the webcam built in, and then we got the laptops. And for 98% of use cases, that's been good enough. I've been using this opportunity to really push Teams. We push Teams over all the other solutions for a bunch of reasons we can or can't get into here. I don't really care. But basically, we're trying to get people on that. They're nervous because it's new and they're not used to it. But since they have to, it's really easy to push them over the edge. So we've been adding audio conferencing to the people who are concerned their clientele can't use a computer or a phone or whatever, and they want to dial in. I'm on a board of directors for a financial services company, and we had our first all virtual meeting last week. And in the past, it would be if they didn't have quorum, somebody could dial in, but it was really not part of the meeting. It was more that person's there to vote, and that's about it. Now we got everyone going with Teams. It went, considering the average age of the board members is like 70, we did really good, really, really good. Wow. We're using this as an opportunity to really push the envelope and push people over the edge where they were like, well, that sounds interesting. We'll try that sometime, but not this time. And now they're like, well, what are we going to do? Have you guys seen any of that? Have you been able to kick anyone over the edge?
So I've had this conversation with you offline. And for me, maybe I'm a little spoiled, right, in this regard. But for the most part, our clients it's been business as usual because a lot of our clients are smaller, right? My largest client, where we handle everything from front to back, is 75 users, right? And that client, for instance, is a municipal accounting firm. So, and the reason I mention that is all the employees had laptops because they actually go into public entities and audit, and they would actually be there for, I there are people I haven't seen in 6 months, right? Because they're like out of sight. So in that situation, nothing has necessarily changed, right? Because they're still working remotely as they did when they weren't in the office. So we've been spoiled in that. And like I said, when it comes to the attorneys or things of that nature, everybody has a laptop, right? We pretty much do laptops and docking stations as just normal procedure now. Because obviously people are going to be in the office, out the office, at home, instead of having a desktop and a laptop. So I've been kind of spoiled in that regard because I haven't had to do too much in terms of getting people going. It was only some support staff that didn't have a laptop or had a desktop, you know, the paralegals or the assistant, right, where we had to get them, you know, some remote access to their office computers. But, most people have our voice over IP solution we put in. Most people have the laptops, VPN solutions not really too much VPN, but a lot of Splash Top type solutions, right? I can honestly say that there wasn't an uptick for me. Unfortunately, I'm jealous, right? Because I hear it's a revenue making opportunity I probably missed. But I had a client say to me yesterday, he goes, you were remote. You were into remote before remote was cool. You were into setting up remote before remote was cool. Yeah, right?
One edge you've got is the RDS deployments that you're already heavy on. And so for us in the last couple of years, we started pushing those more. Historically, we have a lot of clients that are our demographic is typically older, in years, like actual age of clients. And so they like that, go into the office, work all day, go home. Like that's a large percentage of our client base. And so the on-premise servers and the on-premise applications and stuff, it just made sense to do desktops for a million reasons. But we have been doing more remote app and stuff like that. And so we really saw during this, those clients were a lot easier to transition. And for the ones that wanted to remote into the desktop in the office, that was still fine. But some of them we were able to just, you know, issue laptops. And we've been doing like Azure AD deployments for some of the laptops instead of actually connecting them back to the main domain at the office. So they authenticate through Azure AD. And then they've got their 365 stuff because we've gotten rid of most of the file servers in SharePoint. And then we're able to do additional stuff. So I thought we were going to slow down at the end of March because April was just bonkers. I'm now talking May. I'm going to start trying to transition some people to M365 that were currently on E3. I have a lot of nonprofits on E3. And when I move into M365 business, I'm using old naming conventions, by the way. I know they're all changing. Mm-hmm. As the new ones, we will then get the additional Azure AD P1, which gives us more security options for those remote users and monitoring and all access control and all sort of stuff. And the cost isn't any different. It's pennies to go from E3 to M365. And M365 business supports the, you know, installation of Office on RDS. You know, before you couldn't do that. You had to have a Pro Plus or E3. Now you can do it with M365 business. So. Anyway, now, been a good opportunity.
Yeah, now Marv, I know you and I have talked in the past about one, you know, some of your clients, right? I mean, you've been pretty much Citrix RDS style set up anyway, right? Some of your clients with multiple locations and stuff. So, for instance, with that client or those clients, you know, how did you, how have things been with them?
So basically, when this started, my one law firm that was three locations. They were actually, I think it was March 12th or 13th, like really right at the beginning, the principal attorney called me or actually sent me an email and said, hey, we need to, you know, set up a conference because I need to know if this gets worse, what do we do? And for the most part, their two offices were already doing an RDS into their main office. So all we had to do was set up their internal staff to remote in, and we set them up with the VPN client through the firewall to their desktops. So basically that took me, you know, less than a week to get them all set up because I'd schedule two or three a day. And we'd connect in, get the software set up, show them how to connect in from home. And that was it. All my other people were pretty much already set up. I mean, I probably only had 10 people that I had to set up outside of those firms. So we were pretty easy.
Yeah. And they probably, I mean, and for me, just to note, those people who may have needed, you know, the splash top or something like that, like they were also non-contract clients, right? I hate to say it, right? You know, so, you know, this kind of falls in line with, you know, people do, you know, allow you to do what you need to do, right? And set things up properly than you. Because like I said, as far as I'm concerned, I look at every small business now as being mobile anyway, right? I mean, we live in a mobile world. So, you know, I think going forward for every one of us here, it's going to be easy. You're not going to have too much fighting in terms of explaining why you want to do something. You know, why shouldn't you have the on-prem phone system versus going with the VoIP solution, right? Did anyone have, I know I read this in some places and I'm just curious, did anyone have a situation where somebody just like literally told their employees to take their desktop computers home and wondered why nothing worked, you know?
No. We had them take it home and it does work because we set up a VPN on it and they connect back in. But they said that since they were going long-term, this is where, remember I said that we had like the two waves? So the first group was kind of, I guess this is our life now, we're gonna go home. And then April 4th was, this isn't a vacation. This is now going to be a thing. And so some of them started taking their big monitors. The most surprising thing, though, I know that you guys both said you didn't move a lot of product as a result of this, but printers. We sold a ton of printers. Who are they giving the papers they print to? They're all printing at home.
Let me tell you something. And I see this, the accountants do this a lot. Well, the lawyers too, but the accountants more so, I think. They always want to compare. And some people just love paper, right? I remember I had a client, he had a calendar, right? He had one of the big calendars and he had it on the floor next to his chair. And I remember like, dude, you got an iPhone, you got a Surface, you got a desktop. I'm like, listen, you know, let me show you how to do this, right? How to use Outlook. And, you know, I would go through this exercise so many times, right? Yeah. And I said, Jerry, I'm going to ask you a real question right now. Do you just prefer a paper calendar? Just tell me, Stan, I prefer a paper towel. Because if you prefer it, I can't fight you on your preference, right? So he says, Stan, I prefer this paper calendar sitting here, right here on the ground. And I said, guess what? I will never talk to you about using an Outlook calendar again because it's your preference. I'm not going to force you to do something you really don't want to do.
I do agree with that.
No, that's it. But just tell me. Don't have me like spinning my wheels like every day. Like,
no, well, that's
thinking,
the thing,
he just,
right?
I'm just thinking he doesn't know how to use it the right way, right? No. You know, like, let me help you out, you know?
Right.
No, it's like, Stan, I really don't want to do this, bro. I don't want to do this. I'm like, you own the company. You can do what you want, right? Paper calendar, it is for you.
We got the people with the scratch pads. I totally understand that, and like you said, I get it. They print. They want to print out forms and highlight and stuff. I mean, I get what they're doing, but I was still surprised how many like I'm just shipping these printers all over and toner and everything, and I'm like, okay. I mean, if that's what you want. The webcams, the headsets, the monitors. I totally understand, right? The docks. All that I get all that, but yeah, the printers.
Well, I'm like, so I got a question. I haven't seen it, but I'm wondering if any of you have seen it or heard it through your clients that like, this is actually working very well. Maybe we don't need the big office anymore.
Yeah, for us, we're seeing not really. The only thing I am seeing is that I think they're getting more flexibility down the road. But again, back to that demographic. So I have one client that we moved. We were actually in the middle of moving them to a shared office before this started, to the point where their server, their data, and their network equipment is currently powered off, sitting in a building that nobody wants to go to. But the landlord said we can get in later to get the stuff whenever that is. So it was great timing in a way. A couple more weeks earlier would have been a little better. But basically, we put them in Azure. They have RDS in Azure. They have a DC and an RDS server in Azure. They have a VPN that they use, the Windows VPN client to connect into. It's just a five-person office. So putting a FortiGate VM in Azure is not cost-effective at all. So we did that. They love it. They're using Azure AD sign-on for all their desktops. Or sorry, their laptops, but you know what I'm saying. They're 365. We were using CenterStack when they were on-prem for their board members and stuff. We put all the board members on E1 since they're nonprofits, free. We have a Teams channel now we set up for them with for the board members. They put the files in there, and the board members can get it. Board members all have iPads issued by the company. And then the staff, they do their stuff out of their RDS, and everybody's super happy. I've got zero complaints. But then I've got other ones where they're like, I really want to go in the office. I miss meeting clients. And then I got the ones that are in between where they're like, whatever, I don't care.
It's just, I have a friend who's a brother CEO of like a, you know, company with 1400 employees, and they have all this real estate, and they're like, office is permanently closed. Like, there's gonna be like 600-700 people from this moment forward who will be working remote. Cause they're like this. But if you think about it, a lot of our vendors we deal with, you know, IBM doesn't have any physical locations, right? I mean, they actually go into other people's offices. Like, no one who works, you know, that I do, or even Trend Micro, right? All remote workers. So, I mean, you know, that's already kind of been a thing in our
industry. It goes back to the type of business, though, right? We have a lot of manufacturing clients, and we have clients that are, they have big shipping yards and stuff. And so even though they don't, like, management doesn't need to be there, but, like, the one general manager told me, he's like, I'm going in, they're like doing these rotating things for social distancing. So he's like, I go in 2 days a week. He's like, I don't need to go in at all. He's like, I could just sit at home. He's like, but he's like, then they're like, oh, why is he not coming in? He's like, so I go in. He's like, I wave. He's like, I do the walk.
He's a morale booster.
Yeah. He's like, and everybody's happy to see him. He's like, so, and so that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, like, for me, I'm thinking we're going to see more flexibility. Like, okay, I'm not feeling that great today. So instead of dragging myself in and making everybody sick and being patient zero, I'll just stay home and work. And that'll be socially acceptable as opposed to, oh, well, why do you get to stay home? Well, you know, mm-hmm. Right?
Or the snow day won't be a snow day. Everybody has no excuse to work from home.
That's exactly. Marvin, I'm sure Marvin's going to be right on
that. Yeah.
What's a snow day?
When you get like rain, I think you guys have rain days.
Yeah,
down
that. Oh, yeah. Rain down here, can't drive. So to go back earlier, so the one thing that when you talked about the fact that you had a bunch of, you know, uptick in printer sales. So mine was monitors because most of the offices, everybody's doing double monitors. So when they went home, they wanted to be able to have double monitors at home. So we did sell a lot of extra monitors because of that. And what it also did was it drove those Windows 10 upgrades that people declined to do because they didn't think they needed it. And when they realized that, they're like, why can't I do double monitors? Because the computer in the office is still Windows 7. You need Windows 10.
Any excuse, huh?
Yep. So that was did a bunch of that. And then the other thing was so I did have one customer, and it's a fairly good sized law firm, that one of the staff members actually, I don't want to use the word threaten, but she basically called them out because they're in office with, right now they're at 175 users, but their remote capacity was only really about 120 on a good day. They had the option 2 years ago to go to a completely SSL VPN situation where I could have had all their users remote the entire time, and they said no. Well, let me rephrase that. The office manager said no because he thought 15 grand was too much for a law firm that's bringing in probably, I don't know, 30 million a year.
So I understand that it's definitely too much money to spend.
So now they're transitioning. Then they've got, you know, most obviously all the attorneys and the paralegals, but regular secretaries, office staff, you know, are not allowed to work remotely. So they either have to go into the office in shifts or they're not working. And the one secretary called them out and said, it is unbelievable that in, you know, 2020, you know, you can't allow for everybody to work remotely and blah, blah, blah. And I think she was contemplating, because in Florida, I don't know what I haven't paid attention to the employee rules and regulations during this, but apparently you can apply for a certain amount of family leave time because of this. And she took that option, and they didn't want her to, but she said, well, unless you allow me to work remotely, there's not going to be another choice. And if you don't let me, I've got another attorney I can call.
Your attorney can talk to my attorney.
Yeah. So that's what I've seen the last, it was probably about 2 weeks ago when that happened, but it was interesting.
So when are you installing the new firewall? Is that
they haven't come back to me. They
really?
Yes. Okay. Even so, what they did was, so I guess it was March 31st or whenever the governor put the order in to stay at home. That was the day he called me and said, how quickly can you do this? And I said, well, first of all, I have to see if the appliances are in stock. And it's going to take about, you know, 2 to 3 days to get them in, configure them. We got to get a, you know, SSL certificate. I said it's going to take about a week.
That's pretty quick, really. I mean, so aside from the uptick in product, are you guys still moving product in general or not really? Not really.
No, I mean, it's.
I got some installs that were kind of some projects that were were supposed to happen from before. So I'm just sitting on some hardware that I'm not going to install until this thing is over and done. Yeah. But nothing new happened. But like I said, I mean, for me, this is really where the strength of our agreements come in. And we are, you know, in full maintenance mode, right? I mean, literally like in full maintenance mode, like MSP to the true sense of the word right now in keeping the network up and running. Because see, all that other stuff to me is project work, right? That's not
You know what's funny? If we would have had this conversation, you know, 5-6 years ago, I probably would have been saying more of the same as you. But I've got some high growth clients right now, and they're expanding like crazy. So like, we're getting bit constantly by the supply chain issues. We got, you know, I told you about the one switch issue I'm having. You know, and currently they're showing an ETA of May 5th on that. And I mean, I've got orders sitting, and they just, sometimes the stuff's available and it's right there. And then other times it's like, and if it's not there, like if it's not available, you can't even guess anymore when it's coming. I mean, webcams are a bad example because of the, I'm sure their production is not at the level that it would have needed to be to fulfill this demand.
But if you really think about it, I mean, we've been having supply chain issues for quite some time,
about a year,
right? Especially on the desktop laptop side, right? Windows 10 going out, Intel not having enough chips. I mean, you know, this is, I hate to say this, like it's not just because of this.
It no, might have expanded. It's exacerbated, though. It's got much worse.
And reality is, you can't sell what you don't have, right? It's just that simple.
Well, you can't. Reality, you yell that constantly.
But even on the other side, I mean, look, you know, I'm sure, you know, the FortiGates, the Intels, I mean, all these guys want to make money. Logitech, right? They want to make money too, right? So, but everybody remember, right? I mean, where is most of this stuff manufactured? And that was all shut down. It just is what it is.
I hope stuff starts moving soon, because I've got about 20 desktops that I purchased that were supposed to be for, you know, Windows 10 installs. I actually bought a bunch of laptops right as soon as I could. I've still got two sitting here. I do have a lot of products sitting here that I would like to move at some point. I mean, it's here, it's ready, it's paid for. It's not like I'm, you know, needing to get paid.
We're seeing it across all levels. So the thing is that it's not even just the manufacturing stand. Like UPS, for example, or a certain shipping company. Actually, to be fair, I've seen it on UPS, FedEx, and Purelator. I'm not calling any one of them out. But a lot of the drivers have been refusing to come to work. And so then the truck gets loaded, the truck sits there. My tracking says on truck, on way. It doesn't show up. We then call, and then they got to get spare drivers. So we're having problems at the driver level, a lot of problems at distribution, getting it processed, revenue. So these are, again, for those clients that are currently in a maintenance mode, as you've called it, Stan, not an issue at all, right? And I keep pretty good stock of everything as it is. Mm-hmm. But getting like just random new stuff. Yeah. Anyways, just another challenge we're dealing with the business. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, I got a Sonic wall delivered today, so that'll be installed over the weekend. So.
Yeah, and I do think I actually had another colleague who was telling me how he had things that were paid for, you know, 6-7 months ago before this happened, and clients never wanted to shut down to let him come in and do the installs. So he's obviously taken this opportunity to finish lingering projects that were open. Obviously, like I said, I think if you got to go in my opinion, Marv, if you got a client that has 20 machines to install and no one's in the office, it's the perfect time to go in and do that install while no one's there, if you can. So you kind of could take advantage of that. So, but like I said, for me, I mean, we did all the Windows 10 stuff already. Got everybody off of the old servers. So for the most part, you know, look, I'm just going to tell you, I mean, the first quarter, you know, and Chad and I have talked about this, you know, I was up 60% year to date over last year. So I got quite, you know, that stuff happened already for me, right? It, you know, hey, Windows 10, we got to go. You're not going to be supported anymore. We're not going to support the machines. Oh, really? Like, give me 5 new computers, you know, and all that. So, you know, I had taken advantage of that on the front end, luckily.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the big thing. Like it's kind of funny. Like some of our clients, we have golf courses, and unlike in Florida, golf courses close for the winter here because no one golfs in the snow. So you know, I got golf courses calling me saying, "Hey, we're off of 5 months of no revenue, and now we can't open. So we're gonna need to do something." You know, so we got that kind of thing. Whereas us, it's backwards, right? Like we're getting caught up on all these projects. Everyone in IT is always behind on projects, right? Mm-hmm. So we're all getting caught up on all these, but the sales cycle's kind of drying up a little bit. So, you know, come June, when, you know, we would have had backlogged still. I'm not sure what that's going to, I'd say a lot of our documentation is going to be really good. I'd say, you know, everyone's going to have some really polished, you know, handouts and all those things you've always wanted to get done. Yeah, but I mean, it is what it is, right? And like at the beginning of the year, being up was helpful.
Yeah, well, and I got to, geez, I just lost my train of thought, but I think it's going to come back. Actually, you mentioned, you guys all know how I feel about agreements and contracts. There's a deep love and passion for agreements and contracts, right? No, so with that said, and I'm sure it hasn't happened to me yet, and it might happen to you guys, or, you know, if it hasn't already, I mean, are people making those phone calls and saying, "Hey, what are we going to do with this bill that you're sending us a month?" Like, I mean, how are you going to, and how do you guys feel on handling?
That's what I'm saying. We have it. It depends on the client. Like, you know, like, cause for me, I like to run my thing a little more, you know, we'll call it more rural, you know, a little more,
yeah,
more handshake.
Yeah, a little more hobby.
A little more country.
We have agreements, But like my standard thing is, you know, like a year, and then I roll in a month to month. And so my whole thing is that if I'm going to fire you just as likely as you're going to fire me if I don't want to work with you anymore. That's sort of my thing. My mental health has a price, is my thing. So the thing is that, you know, for like the golf course, yeah, I cut him a break because, you know, like I'm like, you guys are screwed. You're screwed. I get it. We had a manufacturing client reach out to us, and they prepaid by the year. So I'm like, we're prepaid. Like we're not doing anything with that. So
yeah, let me get a refund. I want to.
Yeah, we're not doing anything with that. But you know, likewise, you know, they set a follow up date for a few months from now. So again, because the big thing, I know we're not talking about whatever the big thing is, but the big thing is the uncertainty, right? We just don't know. And I don't know. Marvin doesn't know. Stan doesn't know. None of us know, you know, when we're going to be full tilt, right? I put bets on Marvin before any of the rest of us down in Florida. Florida man.
All my customers are still paying, and that's as far as I'm going to take it.
No, like I said, joking aside, it's you know, we're doing case by case, Stan. That's really where it's at. But you know, some stuff, like I talked about one of my clients that's in construction, and he said he was booked all the way till December. Now he's booked a few months out. You know, he's still doing what he's got to do. You know, we got other clients where we got the renewals for their firewalls coming up. They're like, you know what? The last thing I need right now is to be hacked because, you know, we didn't maintain our security software. They're like, you know, send me the bill. But I am sending the bills and getting the money before I book the orders.
Yeah. Well, no. And the reason I ask is, I mean, at the end of the day, if you really think about it, especially what everybody here is doing, I mean, our job is to keep the infrastructure up and running. And if the infrastructure is not up and running, then they can't bill whatever they're billing right now, right? So at the end of the day, we're the last people who should be cut. If you're trying to delay someone's payment and get some out, like, you know, there's call the other vendors, right? You know what I mean?
I agree with you. And this is where it goes, though. And this is where I said case by case, because like in the case of the golf course, picking up the golf courses, they're like off. Like the doors are locked. There is nobody at home. No phones are being answered. No one is working. They're not allowed to do the rentals for their venue. There's no golf, like no nothing. So I'm like, turn it all off then, I guess. Literally, yeah. All of it off.
Yep, that is tough. So, you know, most of my clients, and when I say most, I think all but one are working. And even if they're, you know, working at only 80% capacity, they're still working. So this is probably one of the few times that, you know, some of my customers who are not as appreciative, you know, in years past, now they're much more appreciative. And I even had one call and say, hey, I just wanted to say all that stuff that you were pushing us to do before that we were resistant on and not really understanding why. Now we understand. I'm sorry we were that way back then. We won't be anymore. Which
awesome.
I take that to mean until next year when they forget about this.
Yeah. Well, Rico, hey, please say that again. I need to record that. Right?
That's the problem. Right. Repeat yourself. Currently, you can take that one and pat yourself on the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Chad, I want to make a little bit of a transition here. I'm going to read something. I want you to tell me what you think about it.
Okay. All right? Okay.
So, certain events stand out as catalysts that ushered in new opportunities and prosperity for my business. Although there are a large number of attractive programs, the best benefit to me has always been the people. Being in the company of like-minded peers day to day that are willing to listen, discuss, and share business ideas brings a value that can't be expressed in a number.
That sounds like something written by a gentleman and a scholar. That's what I think.
So my first question is, did you write that for yourself?
Yeah, I did write that.
So I'm going to quickly share my screen here. And what I was referencing is this I saw recently on one of the ASCII forums, and it was a spotlight on my good friend Chad Kemp on being a member of ASCII, that one of the great opportunities joining ASCII and being in the company of like-minded persons. So
yeah, no, I definitely I think I've probably said it enough times, but I mean, I can say it again. It's for me, you know, when you look back at your business, hindsight's 2020, right? So when you look back over the years, we've been all been in business for a long time on this call. I think we're in year 22 now. And, you know, at first we kind of just did stuff, you know, we kind of just did some stuff. And then if it didn't work, we did other stuff. And we kind of moseyed along like that. And then there was a few catalysts that I can look back at and say they jumped me, you know, levels, we'll call it. And when I joined ASCII, you know, and I'd be talking on the list in the early days, I'd say some dumb stuff. And I'd get called out for saying dumb stuff. And then I didn't say dumb stuff anymore. And I looked at why did I think that was acceptable or good? And, you know,
you don't say dumb stuff anymore, though?
No, well, I mean, maybe I don't. I don't know. I'll leave that for 10 years from now when I look back. And but really, it was being around, you know, surrounding myself with people that were more successful than me. Gave me you know, something to strive towards. And by doing that, I was able to really, really jump the business. And, you know, I've continued with that and making other contacts in the industry and meeting more people and using every opportunity I get to ask questions. And that's why I'm always game to do, you know, whether it's a podcast, Marvin, or whether it's, you know, this Facebook Friday or anything like that, because I really am thankful for all the input and the help and the feedback I've gotten over the years, because it's really made me put me where I am today. And so I just hope I can give even a fraction of that back to other people in the community.
All right. Stan, got anything to say about Chad's spotlight?
Yeah. You look much better than that picture that you took. But besides that, I'm just kidding. No, but, you know, Chad, I mean, guys, in all seriousness, one of the things that ASCII did for me was just to, you know, or, you know, as a community group, is to help me even realize that, you know, there are other people in the same boat as you, right? You know, sometimes you think you're out here on your own and, you know, no one else is going through the same experiences. But, you know, having that community of people who are actually, you know, no matter where they are, right? Chad, you're across the border, you know, Marv, you're down south, and, you know, we're all actually going through the same business challenges, dealing with the same things when it comes to, you know, prospecting and sales and marketing and client acquisition and dealing with clients, right? And then, you know, maybe even client termination if that occurs. So for me, just having, you know, feeling like you have that that group to lean on, you know, is definitely a huge circumstance. And then, you know, to Chad's point, seeing like, oh, wait, this person is doing A, B, C, and D, like, why can't I, right? There's no reason for me not to be able to do that as well. So realize that there might be more opportunities, or you've kind of been a little bit too narrow-minded or narrow-focused in terms of how you're looking at things. I mean, even with what's happening now, I actually believe not being fully specialized on one sector is maybe not a bad thing, right? You know, because if that sector goes down, you go down. But, you know, you just kind of see these things, you know, through the peer group and, you know, wherever that is for you, right? And in whatever industry you're in, I think that's just, and then obviously I think the last thing is, not realizing it could actually be a source of revenue and work for you, right? If you have a specialty or can do something that other people in that organization or that group can't do, they might lean on members in there to actually help them fulfill some of the requests that they have. So you can even expand your breadth of services through that. So for sure.
All right. I will echo the sentiments of both of you that since joining ASCII, I can't measure what I've gotten from the group. It is much more than the dollars that I save using all the discounts. And I actually do a few of the programs there. I get the discounts through distribution. But probably the biggest thing, even though I am not active in the ASCII link as well, I'm active. Let me rephrase that. I read. I just don't respond.
Lurker.
Form troll.
I'm a trunk slamming troll is what I am. So... but when I have needed stuff, whether it's, you know, to help me, you know, look at a product, or when I've needed help in a city that I did not have a previous tech in, when I've, you know, made the call, people have answered. And that has been pretty good. And, you know, what actually hooked me in the very beginning when I joined, probably 2 weeks in, I finally made a request on the group asking about Ruckus, because You know, I was looking at them. My client was having issues. We had gone through all of the fire, you know, all of the wireless access points. You know, at the time I was, you know, Linksys and Aruba and Open Mesh, and I'm going through this and I'm like, you know, between Ruckus and Meraki, and I made the call and I'm in Fort Lauderdale. Somebody in ASCII was in Miami and was willing to meet me, give me a spare Ruckus that he had and say, here, play with this for a while. Tell me what you think.
Yep.
That was like, exactly, okay, it. I'm in.
That's exactly it. To take it a step further, Marvin, I actually switched from another peer group into the ASCII Insider group, which is sort of like a subset of ASCII. It's there's ASCII and then the ASCII peer groups are ASCII Insider. And the group in there, you know, it's been really, they partner you up with similar sized companies in terms of revenue and stuff like that. So you can try to, you know, and with everything going on, it's almost been like therapy sessions every 2 weeks. We have our meeting, and normally you go through and you have your stuff you normally do, but it's been more of a, hey, what's going on? And, you know, everyone's been kind of helping each other out, and, you know, and that's just taking it to the next level. Like I said, I can't say enough good things about it. I mean, it was definitely a major milestone for me and my company.
All right. Okay, so let's get ready to end off here. First question I got asked, who's in the kitchen in one of your places there? What is what are they cleaning up lunch?
Yeah. And it ain't for me.
All right. So I'm going to ask basically two questions and we'll end off here. One of the things that I had on here was the Ask Me Anything. And, you know, do you guys, and I first of all, I'm going to guess, Chad, you stopped listening to my show long ago. Stan, is there anything that's come up in the last few shows that you guys have a comment on, a question about, or?
What were your last few shows about?
Yeah, see, I gotcha.
All right. Actually, no. What was your last topic again? I feel like it was like,
last one was the Zix one. Zix was the one.
Yeah, well, you know, you have this marriage with App River, and I just divorced them, so.
Really? You know, what happened?
Yeah. No, I mean, in reality, it's a price problem. Oh. You know, the minimums are fine, but they're not fine when you have some clients that are 2-3 users, 4-5 users, right? You're paying these minimums. You know, there are other vendors that are significantly less, and they're paying, whether I have one user or 20 users, the cost is a cost, right? There's no minimum, right? These domain fees and, you know, it just got to be cost prohibitive for the smaller guys.
Really? Because you can get those waived, you know.
Yeah, well, my contract said $30 minimum, you know, whatever. I mean, I should have called you, but, you know, it just, I mean, look, I have to tell you, the system has definitely gotten better in the fact that as a reseller, you could now do everything on your own without having to call them right. And contact them.
Yeah.
You know, that took a while to get there, and they are there. But like I said, I think for those smaller clients, I don't want to keep having to pick up the phone and call and go do some ordeal and why am I being charged this minimum and, you know, et cetera. So, yeah, so I've converted over. But what I did like versus the solution I have now is I can mix and match, right? You know, I can give somebody email continuity, somebody not, and obviously have those different price points, but those minimums were always the death of me.
All right. I never ran it. Well, let me rephrase that. I did run into it once, but like I said, they waived it. And I don't know if it has to do with, you know, the amount of mailboxes I had with them, because I actually do have a lot. I didn't realize I had as much as I did, so.
Yeah, because it's like per account, right? It was like per, so not in total, it's like per domain account that I set up, right?
Right.
It would be, that minimum was per account. So it wasn't towards my total collective, because that
would be. Well, then you should have called. You should have called me, and I would have gotten you in touch with Sunshine, and they would have taken your whole account, you know, into play and taken care of you. You know, here's your thing, Stan. You bail too quickly, just like,
I'll tell you what it is. It's not even bailing too quickly. It's, I want to have the least amount of interaction with vendors as possible. That's me. It's no kidding.
Really?
Like, and I know what my agreement says, but I also know what I signed the agreement. I'm the one who signed the agreement, who agreed to minimum. So, you know, I don't know if you guys have been watching this Michael Jordan thing, right? Scottie Pippen signed his, you know, the 8-year agreement for $18 million. And they're like, you shouldn't sign this. And if you do sign it, don't come back in my office trying to renegotiate it, because it's what you signed, right? So,
yeah, but times have changed, Stan. If you pay attention to the NBA now and the NFL now, if you outperform your contract, you can go back and negotiate. Players do it all the time. Now, you may get traded. But you can renegotiate.
What are these sports you're talking about, Marvin?
Yeah, listen, just because we took your hockey, stop whining.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's No. Yeah. I saw that you did some stuff with Corey again with Minston House Call. That's
yes.
Kind of cool. You guys kind of came out of the woodwork. He was kind of quiet for a while, so it was nice to see that he's.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but yeah, he. Well, I think I reached out to him for something a few months ago, and then he reached back out to me, and now, you know, he's doing a whole bunch of stuff on his own. He's got a couple of things. So actually, he and I are, I don't want to say in negotiations, but he and I are talking about doing some other stuff as well. So
that's terrific.
Yeah, Corey's back on the grid.
Jetpack days were fun. The stuff that, like I said, it was always good times with Corey.
And yes.
He's a fellow Canadian.
Fellow Canadian.
I speak for half of Canada.
That's true. That's true. Yep, the old jetpack days, back when you thought I was a nobody.
One man trunk slamming pizza delivery.
Did you ever tell? Do you ever tell van. Stan that whole
you
story?
You don't even have a van.
Yes, I heard the whole story.
No, I don't have a van. I got a T-shirt though. I got a T-shirt that's got a van.
Quickly realized that Chad was in a different, Marvin was in a different category, you know?
So. Yeah. You know what? The two of you guys are both great. I do like to remind you of that once in a while, but the both of you guys have proved that you can definitely do, quite a bit as a, one man operation, with maybe a little assistance here and there. Some days I'm a little envious. I mean, that's why I lost all my hair, right? It was employees. I mean, I tell everyone that that's just, before employees, I had luscious, you know, luscious hair. After employees, it's, you know, you got to watch, you don't get blinded in the wrong light.
Well, I've had employees, so I can't really, you know, talk bad about the situation. So I understand. All right. So I know people are getting off and heading back to lunch. So let's go ahead and end up here with Florida Man versus the World.
Oh, boy. How's your pet alligator?
He's good.
Did you throw it through Wendy's drive thru recently or?
No, he's in grandma's toilet right now. So here we go. I'm going to start off because I want to see if you guys have anything to this. So. You know, the talk, we're going back to sports, Chad, so don't like doze off here. So you know that, you know, Tom Brady is now a Florida man.
Isn't he going into people's houses or something?
Yes. So Tom Brady recently, mistakenly, went into the wrong person's house. So David Kramer was in the process of selling his home and had the front door open. When the new Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback made his way inside, Kramer was sitting at his kitchen table doing some work when he heard the door open, saw Brady, who dropped his duffel bags on the floor and said, "Hey, man, how's it going?" Before realizing that he was in the wrong house, he was looking for their offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich, who was Kramer's next-door neighbor.
I'm just glad that that's a good part of Florida, because I thought the result might be a little different in.
I thought the story was going to go different myself. You know, yeah,
that's in Tampa. You know, so.
Miami or just the rural areas that might not have gone so well.
Yeah,
he's coming right for me.
So yeah, so Tom Brady is Florida man. So that was the one thing, and the other thing was he got kicked out from a park because parks are closed. And Tom Brady, thinking that, you know, he was the man like he was back up north, you know, thought that he could break all the rules, and he had to get booted from the park because he wasn't allowed in, even though he thought that he could go and work out and do whatever he wanted.
That's kind of hilarious, actually.
Well, he doesn't have to worry. If he waits long enough, you guys are going to do plenty of things that he's going to be able to be free, and we're all just going to be here laughing at you guys and the rest of the country. That's all I'm saying. If anything weird happens, we already know it's Florida before we see the headline.
I send you Florida Man stories like...
It's like
a headline, and I'll be like, I bet this guy's in Florida. And then I just start scrolling down. And I'm like, he is. Although I'll give you, honestly, I've been watching the news a lot lately, and I have to say there's some other states giving you a run for your money. I don't know.
That's true, but there's some help. You know, the quarantine, you know, makes it, you know, people go loopy. Although I didn't bring this up, and I don't have time to go searching for it. But do you guys remember the bunny that went and punched a man? The Easter Bunny story from last year?
No, it must have got buried in all the other.
So he's on trial for assault because even though he was coming to the defense of a woman, yeah. And the Easter Bunny in full Easter Bunny outfit went up and punched this dude. And so now he was being sued and all of that stuff.
This is in Florida, right?
It's in Florida.
I just want to throw another Florida story out there.
You're supposed to throw a New Jersey story out.
No, we know a New Jersey story. We're fine. We don't have any issues up here.
Okay, what's Florida?
Listen, Florida story. Did you see the man selling masks made from python and alligator skin?
Yes. Yeah.
I just had to...
That's good.
You know.
That's good.
Yeah.
I still think the alligator through the drive-thru is my favorite, though. That one, I'm still...
Really?
Yeah, I really like that one. I don't know. Maybe the alligator... I mean, alligators, they're like dogs for you down there, right? I mean, maybe that's it. But for me...
They're pets. They run like, you know, we've got cats that run wild. We've got raccoons, possum, alligator.
We get all that, but no alligators. Yeah.
I mean, I'm only a couple miles from the Everglades, so, mm-hmm. You know, pythons will be coming up here pretty soon.
I saw a video of somebody in Australia where there's a kangaroo banging on their back door. Like that sort of stuff to me is alarming, but I mean, I don't have kangaroos.
So. I mean, I've eaten kangaroos. It was a little tough, but, you know.
I mean,
I ate them and I petted them. I kind of felt a little bad about that, but you know, it was what it was.
That's good.
Let's see. Florida man accused of shooting duck with a bow and arrow. Drunk Florida man shoots rifle, points laser at Broward County Sheriff.
You don't have to look far. Don't have to look far. But I mean, like, you know, like I said, I'll be honest with you. I have a feeling that 3 months from now, you guys have a lot of competition. I mean, I won't name places, but I mean, I did see a mayor saying some things.
I mean,
the mayor, our governor says some things.
The one with the 42-year-old woman who stuffed Easter eggs with porn.
Oh, yeah. I talked about that last week. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys win, man. You guys, like, this is like good stuff.
It's like a 10-to-1 ratio, I think.
But you know what it is, right? It's like Florida's where people go to essentially kick the bucket, you know? So what happens is
that's only Boca Raton, okay?
Yeah.
The rest of Florida is people leaving the north because of cold weather.
I gotta watch the jokes, right? Because I mean, Ontario's second home is Florida.
I mean, how many Quebec license plates are outside my office right now?
Yeah, but I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. That's what happens is when you get to that part of life, you're just like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? You know, I've lived long enough. I might as well do some things that probably are a little out of character. And that's it. You know, I'm just like, it's a good excuse. For
I thought it was the heat. Now the heat just gets to them. Yeah. And in the comments, I don't know if you saw the comments earlier, Marvin John was saying that your January, February is kind of like my summer. Unfortunately, my summer is a sweltering mess up here, too, with the humidity.
That's
so
true.
High.
Humidity gets high up there. Yeah.
You got to experience that. Kind of wish we would have got to see you in January. That would have been a look.
What, like, am I going to dress any different? What are you talking
about? No. My favorite videos are the one where my mom from Jamaica coming to Canada for the first time in January and saying, she's fine, she doesn't need a coat. And then they film her as she comes out of the airport and the look on the face.
Do they sell coats at the airports? Because that's what
they most certainly sell coats.
All right, because that's probably what I would be doing as I get off the plane, because I don't own a coat
just
anymore.
Just Amazon yourself a coat before you come. That's what you want to do. You don't want to put on airport markup. Well, these days, actually, it might not be bad.
I was going to say, the exchange rate's pretty good for us right now.
Oh, yeah, that Canadian dollar
should be fair, yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and end off here. People are finishing up lunch. We are over an hour, and I don't want to hear any more Florida Man jokes. That's pretty much why I want to end
this off. That's fine. We'll take it offline. It's fine.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for watching, if you are watching us live on the Facebook or on YouTube, and for listening, if you have downloaded this episode of Podnuts Pro. Please head over to podnuts.com and listen to other great shows that we have over there. I probably should make this announcement. I have told you guys in the past that I purchased the domain podnutspro.com. Let's just say that I am in the midst of working on putting that website together. So soon you will be able to head over to podnutspro.com and get some of the great things that we talked about. I'll have links from the show notes there. I'll have things from the Amazon. So if you want to support the show, the main way that you can support it is by doing your shopping on Amazon. I will have links from items that I've had on the show. I don't know what else I'm going to do there yet, but it's coming. So all of that's there. Be sure to follow us on the Twitter at Podnuts Pro, and on the Facebook. Do a search for Podnuts Pro, and we have a Facebook page there. And of course, if you're watching, you already know that because you're on it. That's going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. I want to thank Chad Kemp and Stan Lusant for being on the show. And that's going to do it. And until next time, holla.
Thank you, Marv.
Thanks, Marv.